who revealed the book, نزل الكتاب, and he وهو يتولى الصالحين, and he will befriend and defend the righteous. Always in this life, the story has been that we have two camps and two orbits and two groups. One represents the truth and justice and peace, and the other represents rebellion and corruption and evil. And they've been fighting, and the story is not new. If you watch the news today and you see how ISIS are murdering and killing and ransacking the cities and towns and villages and taking women as slaves and selling them in the markets for $500 apiece and killing others and murdering children, this is not something new. This corruption and this evil has been going on for a long time. When the population of Earth were only four, they were only four people. The population of Earth, they were four: Adam, Eve, Cain, and Abel. One of those children killed the other because of jealousy, because his intention was not pure. He was jealous of his own sibling, his own brother. And there were plenty of space on this earth. At that time, there were no oil in the Middle East. They had not discovered oil. At that time, there were no weapons of mass destruction. At that time, there were no presidency or, you know, governments. But at that time, there were two camps. One representing haq and the truth and justice, and the other would represent evil and falsehood. This is the story from the beginning, and the story would not end soon, I am telling you. This story of this conflict would not end soon. It will take another thousands, rather millions of years. We will go, this generation will go, another generation would come, and many other generations would succeed, and the story would remain the same. Two camps are struggling. One of them, they struggle to uphold dignity, to uphold justice, truth, uprightness. And the other is fighting for monopoly, for control, for dictatorship. And we have them in every religion. We have them in every culture. And we have them in every area. Today, the leader of so-called Islamic State, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, one of the most famous mass murderers in the history of mankind, he was proud. He sent a recording to the Arab channels, and he said, "Now my leadership and my government is not only confined in Syria and Iraq, but it is also expanding to Egypt, Algeria, Saudi Arabia, and Yemen." And then he gave a special message to the Shia of Saudi Arabia. You know, in the eastern province of Saudi Arabia, the Shia people live there. He said, "Once we reach Saudi Arabia, we're going to exterminate you. We're going to kill all the Shias in Saudi Arabia." So the story is continuing. The story of Khabith, on the one hand, represented by people like ISIS and others, and the Tayyib, the peaceful, and those who are advocating justice in this life. During the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those two groups existed. On the one hand, there were the polytheists and the hypocrites, munafiqeen, who pretended to be Muslims. On the other hand was Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with a handful of his family members and companions. Handful, not many of them. And I mentioned before I left on probably October 17th or 16th, we mentioned the story of this conflict and we reached verse number 196. The Prophet was debating them. He would say to them, call upon your idols, see if they can help you. For me, my Lord, inna waliya Allah, 196. Inna waliya Allah alladhi nazzal al-kitab. For my guardian and my protector and my defender, Allah, my Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alladhi nazzal al-kitab, the one who sent this, revealed this book, the revelation, the scripture, the Holy Quran, وَحْوَ يَتَوَلَّ الصَّالِحِينَ. And he himself, يَتَوَلَّ here means he will take care of. تَوْلِيَ or وَلَايَ in this particular context has a specific meaning. It has meanings in other contexts, but in this specific context, the Prophet is saying that my defender and my attorney and my caretaker, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَهُوَ يَتَوَلَّ الصَّالِحِينَ, not only me, he will take care of every virtuous and righteous. So your case, if you are a virtuous, you are not going to lose. Even if the whole dunya, the entire people, they stand against you, at the end, you're going to be victorious because you have a good defender, and that defender is your Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna waliyyi Allah, indeed, my protector is God. Alladhi nazzala al-kitab, and he himself, wa huwa yatawalla as-salihin, he defend the righteous. The righteous could be weak, they have no army, they have no weapon to defend themselves. They have no tribe. They have no, you know, people to defend them. They have no money. But there is a good support behind them. Allah. And we have to learn a lesson in this life. If you are with God, God is going to be with you. Nobody can defeat you. Maybe you suffer. Maybe you sustain some casualties and some wounds. But at the end, you are victorious. وَقُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُقًا. And say, truth has came, and falsehood perished, for indeed falsehood must perish. It cannot stay in this life forever. إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُقًا. Sometimes you have a problem with someone in the community. And you are worried, what will happen to me? Is this person going to defeat me? If you are with God, He's not going to defeat you. God says, وَهُوَ يَتَوَلَّ الصَّالِحِينَ. I am with the righteous. I am behind them. I control. I see. I watch. I monitor. I follow up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Musa alayhi salam, Musa, go to Pharaoh. Musa said, I go to Pharaoh. By myself and my brother alone, empty-handed, Pharaoh the emperor who has a huge army. How can I go to him? Allah says to him, إِنَّنِي أَسْمَعُ وَأَرَى. You are not alone. I see, I hear, أَسْمَعُ وَأَرَى, and I see. So I am protecting you. Why are you worried? You are not alone. So if you are following the truth, don't worry. At the end, you're going to emerge victorious. And your enemies, no matter how much money and wealth and attorneys and supporters they have, they're going to be defeated. إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. This is the law of the universe. Anywhere we have these two camps, the camp of representing falsehood and the camp that representing truth. When they have confrontation, at the end, falsehood is going to perish. Falsehood is going to be destroyed. إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. Then in 197, Allah says to the polytheist, those who worship idols, وَالَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ لَا يَسْتَطِعُونَ نَصْرَكُمْ. But those you call upon beside him, the idols, are unable to help you. وَلَا أَنفُسَهُمْ يَنصُرُونَ. And indeed, unable to help their own selves. Neither you nor themselves. We see that the issue of monotheism, the emphasis of Tawheed and monotheism has been repeated in the Quran in so many chapters. Why? It's not enough to be mentioned once, twice, three times, five times. Why 500 times? Because this is the main issue. The main issue in this life, who do you follow? Who's your leader? Who's your mentor? Who's your guide? Who you are loyal to? These are very important issues. They determine your journey in this life. If your leader is wealth and money, then money and wealth is going to influence your brain and your thinking and your direction. If your mentor and your guide and your leader is dunya, this dunya, and the temptations of this life, again, they're going to determine your direction. But if you belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, monotheism, tawheed, Allah is my Lord, again, your journey is going to be different from others. The road that you're going to take is going to be different from others. This is why monotheism and tawheed is the cornerstone of not only Islam and other religions, Christianity and Judaism and the religions that came before. وَالَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ لَا يَسْتَطِعُونَ نَصْرَكُمْ. Do not go to the idols who are helpless. Don't waste your time calling upon them. And this one, 197, has been mentioned before in 194. 194 says exactly the same. So 194 and 197 are similar. Why they are similar and why they have been repeated? Did God run out of subjects? He has no subjects, so he repeats himself? No. He does not run out of subject. God is repeating to overemphasize that I don't want you to forget. Sometimes a father speaks to his son. He has many things to say to his son. Some of them are extremely important. Some of them are important. Some of them are not very important. So you will find him when he speaks to his son, he's going to overemphasize things that are extremely important. Maybe in the beginning of his speech, in the middle, and at the end. So his son would not forget. He knows this is important. He keeps reminding me. He keeps telling me. So it must be very important. This is exactly the way God uses in the Holy Quran when he addresses us. He keeps reminding us that tawheed and loyalty to me is paramount, is the core of religion, is the essence of religion. So do not be loyal to something else other than me. And then we come to 198, وَإِن تَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَى الْهُدَىٰ. Again, 198 has been mentioned in 194, if you follow the Quran. 194 or 195, actually 195 and 198, they have the same theme. What is the theme? وَإِن تَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَى الْهُدَىٰ If you call upon the idols to guide you, would they guide you? No. لَا يَسْمَعُوا They can't even hear you. وَتَرَاهُمْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَيْكَ You see the idols, you think they are seeing at you, looking at you. وَهُمْ لَا يَبْصُرُونَ But they can't see. They have eyes, but they can't see. Sometimes these eyes are made of rocks, like the real idols. Made of what? The statues that they used to worship, made of what? Made of sometimes rocks, sometimes mud, and sometimes in Arabia, in Mecca, because they had plenty of trees, palm trees, so they had a surplus of what? Dates. So they would use these dates to create idols. In the beginning of the morning they sit, they put these dates together, they create an idol. By the evening they get hungry, they eat the idol. In the morning they worship him, in the evening they eat him. He expires. This is a true story. That was the history of Arabs before Islam. They eat the idol that they worship. And sometimes they worship human beings. Even now, if you go to certain cultures, they worship certain human beings. They consider them to be the Lord, the God, the giver, the sustainer, the provider, the cherisher, the creator. God says, even if they look at you, even if they have true eyes, they can't help you. وَتَرَاهُمْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَيْكَ وَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ Now, I have an important question for you. We the Shias, we have been accused by the radicals, the jihadis, that you worship your imams. You worship Imam Ali, you worship Imam Hussein, you worship Fatima al-Zahra, you worship Imam Rida. When you tell him, how do I worship? He says, you go to his shrine and you tell him, oh Imam Hussein, I need my son to get married. I need a job, I need a house, I need health, I need healing, I need this, I need that. So you are asking them for help. And this is exactly what the idol worshippers used to do during the time of the Prophet, when they used to ask their idols for help, for food, for success, for happiness, for whatever. So what is the answer? Are you worshipping them? Are you worshipping them? My friends, in the Quran, and I really want you to pay attention to this, because if they have not asked you in the past, they're going to ask you soon. Next week, or next month, or next year, at the latest. Nowadays, if you are a Shia, you have to know why you are a Shia. Because you have been accused of worshipping idols. So do you have the answer to provide or you don't? You tell them, well, I became Shia because I was born in a Shia family. My grandmother was Shia, my grandfather was Shia. This is not an answer. You have to provide a logical answer. At least to convince yourself, even if you don't want to speak to anyone outside, to convince yourself, am I on the right path or not? When you go to Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina, inshallah you're going to go and visit the Prophet. They don't allow you to face the Prophet. You have to face the Qibla, Kaaba. If you face the Prophet, they say this is shirk. Because you are asking the Prophet. Why do you ask the Prophet when Allah is there? Allah is there. Why do you ask the Prophet? Why do you say Ya Rasulallah? Ya Rasulallah is shirk, an act of heresy and polytheism. So what is your answer? Do you have an answer? Or you tell them, this is how I learned. This is how I learned is not an answer. You have to bring an answer from this book, the Holy Quran. Here. You have to provide an answer, powerful answer. In this book, in the Holy Quran, we have two types of verses, if you pay attention to them and use your brain. But if someone is brainless, he cannot distinguish between these two verses. Unless you use your intelligence and your brain. One of them says, "Min dunillah." They worship, the polytheist, they worship min dunillah. Beside God, without God. They don't worship God. They worship their idols instead of God. Instead of worshiping God, they worship their idols. This act is act of what? Shirk and heresy. But then there are other verses that says, you ask them for help, bi-ithnillah. You come to Jesus and say to him, "Jesus, I have a son who is sick. Please come to heal him." Bi-ithnillah. With the permission of God. And Jesus would come. And this is in the Holy Quran. Surah Maryam. Jesus would go there. And in Surah Al-Imran. And he says, وَأُبْرِئُ الْأَكْمَهَ وَالْأَبْرَصَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. I come and I heal your sick people in your homes with the permission of God. Not without God. With his permission. God has given me this authority, this blessing, this power. Otherwise me, I'm nothing. I'm not rivaling God. I'm not making myself another God, another Lord. I work for God. I'm the agent of God. Bi-ithnillah. More than that, in this book and in the Bible both, Jesus did something even more powerful. Resurrected the dead. He would come, stand on the grave of a person, and he says to him, "Qum bi-ithnillah." Stand. With the permission of God. And he stands. A person who's dead for ages. Ages. Jesus would do that. But not min dunillah. Bi-idhnillah. With the permission of God. This is an act of tawheed. And monotheism. So we tell them when I go to Imam Hussein and ask him. I'm not asking Imam Hussein as someone who's independent from God. Acting by his own self. He's acting by the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he tells me, where is this in the Quran? I tell him, read Surah An-Nisa, chapter 4, verse 64. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ جَاءُوكَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا اللَّهَ وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولُ لَوَجَدُوا اللَّهَ تَوَّابًا رَحِيمًا. The guilty ones, the sinners in your community, when they come to you, O Prophet, asking for God's forgiveness. They come to you. So when they come to you, tell them you are welcome. I will ask God to forgive you. Although God is there, and God does not need a translator. He understands all languages. But they go through the Prophet. The Prophet intervenes here. Because the Prophet is not just anyone. The Prophet is, Allah says about him in the Quran, in the Holy Quran, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً, means of mercy and forgiveness for mankind. So he has a role. He's not sitting there useless. When he intervenes, God will accept his intervention. And then let me conclude by saying three important points, but I want you to follow me please on these three points. Because when you discuss this issue with others, you have the dalil, the evidence. You have it from the Holy Quran. Ibadah, the meaning of ibadah, all Muslim scholars and jurists and theologians, they agree that ibadah or the act of worship entails three meanings. Three meanings. One meaning is, when you pay tribute to someone, or ask someone, or ask an object, any object, be it an idol, statue, be it Jesus, be it Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, be it Imam Hussein, be it any person. You ask him for help and guidance with the intention, with the belief that he is the Lord. He is the Lord. That he's divine. He has a divine power. He is the Lord. Then that is ibadah. That is an act of worship which is acceptable or unacceptable. Unacceptable. Unless when you use it with God, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is number one. Worshipping means when you ask someone, any person, for help with the belief that he's divine. Believing in his lordship. He is God. Ilahiyya, uluhiyya. Meaning his lordship. This is one. This is unacceptable. This is an act of shirk. The second meaning of ibadah is when you go to someone, you ask him, knowing that, or with the intention, with the belief that he controls your life completely and exclusively. He controls your life. He controls your life, your death, your sickness, your healing, your sustenance, your food, everything. He's in charge, in full charge. So you are asking him. Now let me ask you this question, my sisters and brothers. When you go to Imam Ridha and Imam Hussein or any Imam or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, would you ask him for healing thinking that Imam Ridha is the one who is giving you independently from God? Huh? With this intention? Not with this intention. You are asking him because Imam Ridha is the servant of God, the slave of God, Abdullah. He's close to God. What do we say about Prophet Muhammad? وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ. We acknowledge that he's the servant of God. He's not rival. He's not companion of God. He's not the son of God. عَبْدُهُ, the slave of God. So this is the second meaning of worship. The first meaning of illegal worship, which constitute polytheism, is when you ask him thinking that he's what? God. The second is thinking that he is in full charge and full control of your life independently from God. Again, this is illegal. And the third one is, when you go to someone, this is also very delicate and it has a small difference with number two. There is a delicate difference between number two and number three. Is when you go to someone thinking that he is independent and self-subsisting. What does self-subsisting mean? Exactly. It means self-sustaining. What does self-sustaining mean? It's mentioned in the Quran. When you read Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayat Al-Kursi, chapter 2, verse 255. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul al-hayyini. We know the meaning of hay. Living. Allah is living. Al-hay. But then al-qayyum. What does al-qayyum mean? Al-Qayyum means self-subsisting. It means that he does exist without the need of any power of this universe. He is free of all needs. Free of all needs. Allah does not need fuel, nor gas, nor electricity, nor a bed, nor a shower, nor food, nor a wife, nor a friend. But we need all these things. We can't survive without them. We need these things. God is self-subsisting. God does not need the help of others. We in philosophy, my friends, we, the people, we are قَائِمٌ بِغَيْرِهِ. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is قَائِمٌ بِذَاتِهِ. What does that mean? We are, qa'im means living, through the help of others. Meaning if your mother did not exist, did not deliver you, bring you into this life, could have you been into this life? Would you fall from the sky with a parachute? You can't. You need to have a mother. Some boys and girls, sometimes they get frustrated and they go to their moms and they say, I don't need you. I'm independent. I'm 17 years old. You think I need you? I don't need you. But they forgot that 17 years ago, the mother was the one who delivered them. And she breastfed them and she took care of them and she changed their diaper until the age of 5. And she fed them. It was the mother. Now he says, I don't need you. So we need others. In order for us to continue, we need others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is qa'imun bidhatih. He is in no need to anything in this universe, including himself. This is very important. Imam Hussein says, including yourself, you don't need yourself. And this is funny sometimes. How he doesn't need himself? He doesn't need himself. Because his structure is simple. Our structure is not simple. We are made of several parts. Put these parts together, it makes Muhammad, it makes Ali, it makes Umar, it makes whatever. But Allah is not made of several parts. Allah's structure, basit in the philosophy terminology, philosophical terminology, basit. ذاته بسيطة ليست مركبة. It is not composed of many parts. Because once you say God is composed, it means what? It means these parts, they need each other to function. It's like us. Now that I am talking to you, millions of parts are working together in order for me to deliver this short speech. Millions of parts. Millions of cells are working together. So they need each other. They need. When it comes to Allah, He is free of all needs. So when you go, let me ask you, when you go to Imam Hussein, when you go to Fatima to Zahra alayhi salam, when you go to our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and you ask him, Ya Rasulullah, please help me. Do you harbor in your mind that the Prophet, he can help himself without the interference of God? Huh? With this intention? Definitely not. So when you say, Ya Rasulullah, or Ya Imam Hussein, this is not act of shirk. This is an act of tawheed, my friends. Because they work for God. And God, He does not have children, and He is in no need to have children. But He has agents to guide us. He has agents to guide us. And those agents are named prophets, messengers, apostles, imams, and awsiyah. They have been chosen by Him to guide us, to show us the way, to be an example for us. Because if we don't have them, how does God communicate with you? You see Him in your dream? How do you know God exists? You need someone to teach you, to show you the way. You need someone to bring you the message of God, which is this, plus one more thing. He brings the message, the scripture to you, and He does one more thing. What is it? What is the other functioning of the Prophet? Huh? No. Prophets and messengers, they have two responsibilities. One is to bring the book. Exactly. One is to bring the book and tell you this is revelation. And the second is to act and apply and exercise this book in the community. And the Prophet says about Imam Ali, He says, Aliyun huwa al-Qur'anun natiq. Ali is the one who applied this book in the society, in the community, in his family. Ali translated this book into actions, into acts, into behavior. Aliyun huwa al-Qur'anun natiq. God created Ali as a perfect man. Ali followed this book. Ali put this book into practice. While others, they could not do that. We will continue on this, inshallah, in the upcoming weeks. And we have Thursday, the coming Thursday, is the martyrdom, the anniversary of the Shahada and the martyrdom of our fourth Imam, Al-Imam Ali ibn al-Husayn al-Sajjad Zainul Abidin alayhi salatu wassalam, which is on Muharram 25th, and we're going to commemorate this occasion on Thursday, inshallah ta'ala. And Salatul Jumu'ah, the time has changed, and it would be at noon, inshallah, which is 12 tomorrow, inshallah, 12 noon. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات إنك غافر الخطيئات إنك على كل شيء قدير برأي شادية روح مرحوم آية بوشنگ حاج موسای عرب أموية خوهر عزيز من خانم فريباي عرب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد. Salam.